today is the culmination of our series on the passage from 1 Peter 4, with its focus on prayer, presence, participation, proclamation, and praise, the theme for our Open Spaces, Open People series. We've been learning the verses from 1 Peter 4 by heart. It's on the back of your bulletin, but I'd like to see if you can say it with me without looking. That would be all the better. We will say verses 7 through the beginning of 11 together, and then we'll learn the end of verse 11, which is our theme for today. So, dear friends, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. And now we'll learn the end. Repeat after me. So that in all things,
so that in all things,
God may be praised.
God may be praised.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
To him be the glory.
To him be the glory.
And the power.
And the power.
Forever and ever, amen.
Forever and ever, amen.
This passage leads us to praise and sets up today's exploration of the Pentecost story. You heard the beginning of the story earlier from Acts 2, verses 1 through 12. And you might want to open up your Bibles to see the rest of the Pentecost story there. It begins on page 1691. And I would like to review part of the story before reading our passage for today, which is the last few verses of chapter 2. On Pentecost, small tongues of fire appeared when the Holy Spirit was poured out on each one of the faithful believers who had gathered in that upper space to pray and wait. And when they received the gift of God, the Spirit loosened their tongues so that they could proclaim the acts of God. And they spoke in many languages, languages they didn't know themselves, not the ones that you heard us say today. And it was only by the Spirit's power that they could speak the native tongues of God-fearing Jews who had gathered in Jerusalem from many other places to celebrate the Harvest Festival of Pentecost. And these travelers all heard an amazing story in their own languages, a story filled with praise, praise for the wonders of God, a message that they could take home to their faraway lands. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are all not these who are speaking Galileans? Then how do we hear each one in our own native language?" They could hear and understand as the believers declared the wonders of God, and they were astonished. And they asked, "What does this mean? What's this all about?" And some just scoffed and thought they were drunk. And then Peter got up, and he took a deep, Spirit-filled breath, and he addressed the crowd. He said, "This is prophecy fulfilled. It's only 9 a.m. They're not drunk this early." "No," Peter explains, beginning in verse 16. "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your own old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Peter is letting them know that on this day of Pentecost, that prophetic message is fulfilled. The Spirit's poured out on young and old, on men and women. No one is excluded. And they all proclaim the truth of God's great deeds, especially Peter. He goes on, he pr- proclaims the truth about Jesus Christ to the crowd, telling them, and now at verse 22, this Jesus of Nazareth came from God. You all nailed him to a cross. And then verse 32, but God has raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. And then Peter confidently concludes in verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that day, 3,000 people accepted his message and were baptized. The fire and wind of the Holy Spirit breathed new life among them. The Spirit empowered people to respond with repentance and trust. And the Christian church was given life. A new community was born. So now let's read how the believers lived together in those first days after Pentecost. I'll begin now at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you notice? Praise. The story of Pentecost begins and ends with praise. The believers devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. They opened their hearts and their homes, and they shared everything together as one family. And they kept on meeting together in the open courts of the temple, in homes, and maybe even lobbies. And all of that led to gladness and praise. William Willimon calls their life together the immediate embodiment of Pentecost enthusiasm. Pentecost enthusiasm. And their joyful praise spread through the open spaces to everyone around them. And those who watched and listened were drawn in by their community, whose love was fanned by the flames of the Pentecost Spirit. Willimon also says, at Pentecost, the power of God, made manifest at the resurrection and ascension of Christ, is bestowed upon the people of God. Both the ascension of Christ and the descent of the Spirit at Pentecost are further explications of the wonder of Easter. The day of Pentecost, then, ends the cycle of stories about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, which we celebrate at Easter. Our children and worship group is staying with us for the whole service during the summer. When they do meet together, they learn about the Christian calendar, the liturgical year. And this calendar, which we also use for our worship in our space here together, this whole calendar is centered on stories about Jesus. It begins with Advent, the purple, and then the Christmas, gold or white, Epiphany, the first green growing season, Lent, the longer purple season, And then the 50 golden or white days of Easter, including Ascension, and they culminate on Pentecost. That last gold square is Pentecost. It's red on the smaller square circle. Pentecost, the day when Jesus sent the Spirit to remain with us, giving birth to a new community. And the Spirit comes with power to the church. And we embark on a new growing season as we continue to grow in Christ. That first Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit was most evident in Peter. Oh, Peter. Early last week, a Wordle word was brash. And immediately I thought of Peter. Brash Peter. He has not always been a hero. We last looked at Peter during Lent when we read the story of his denial. And Peter has come a long way. That brash fisherman who dared to walk on water had become a coward in the judgment hall, denying he even knew who Jesus was. And then a rooster crowing brought tears of repentance, and Peter was prepared to receive once again the grace of forgiveness. The resurrected Lord Jesus restored Peter to a life of following Jesus and feeding his sheep. And now, on this first Pentecost Sunday, we see Peter newly filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And he is not only boldly proclaiming that he does know Jesus and he knows Jesus as his Savior, but he also accuses those who had crucified Jesus. And further, Peter tells everyone that they should repent, even as Peter had repented. And he promises that the Holy Spirit will come to fill and empower them too. So many people respond and receive new life and power through the Spirit, as Peter had. And that new community was born. And Peter, who preached that powerful Pentecost sermon, later writes letters, one of which includes this passage, which we've been learning by heart. He writes these letters to encourage the new community that was spreading throughout the ancient world. That new Christian community becomes the church. The final few verses of Acts 2 give us a portrait of the early church just as it's getting started. The people learn from the apostles and they enjoy fellowship with one another. They break bread and pray together, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is evident in how they live. The Holy Spirit has opened people's hearts and prompted them to open their homes. They share possessions with the needy, they share their witness in the temple, and they share themselves with others in table fellowship. And their common life together is marked by praising God. God blessed their fellowship by giving them favor in the eyes of the people around them and bringing others into their fellowship so that the church grew. The Christian community in Acts 2 provides a good model for us too, a model of a life of godly worship and joyful hospitality and sharing, because we also have received power from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers God's people with many different gifts. One is that gift of prophecy, as Peter recalled from that passage in Joel. The gift of prophecy is not only foretelling future events, but also encouraging and building up God's people. Many of you do this. And the Spirit also pours out the power of wisdom and healing and tongues and faith in varying ways upon different people. And all of us receive the fruit of the Spirit, which we heard earlier: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit is moving among us to shine the light of Christ, to direct us as we follow Jesus, and to help us love God and love our neighbor. Steve Timmermans, a friend of Neeland, a former leader in the denomination and current leader in our classes, recently wrote a book called Followership: Faithful Following in an age of confusion. It's about how all of us, even or especially leaders, need to also learn to be good followers. Steve reminds us that following Jesus means that we should listen well when Jesus reminds us to focus on God and neighbor. He quotes Mark 12, where Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment. Jesus answered, "The most important one is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." And Jesus told the person who acknowledged the wisdom of this that he was not far from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And Steve goes on to reflect how our Reformed faith tradition talks about the kingdom of God as now and yet coming. He writes, "Jesus came, and so we live in the reality of the kingdom he brought with him, moving Old Testament people from a theocracy into a community, but that community is not yet fully established." He continues, "While we await his return for complete fulfillment of that kingdom life, we have ample evidence of what life in the kingdom should mean now." And Steve acknowledges that loving God and loving neighbor is a journey. And then he writes, "For those of us who have accepted membership in this new kingdom, we still struggle with self-interest, possession accumulation, and forgetting our neighbors nearby and far away. But when loving God is central, little by little, we lose those old attractions and become more and more focused on our love for God. We become faithful followers." What an amazing picture of Christian community this is, and it resonates with what we read in Acts 2. In that Pentecost story, we saw how when the Spirit comes and moves God's people to believe in Jesus and to love God, the Spirit also equips God's people to live in faithful community with one another. They make space for a variety of gifts. They make sure everyone has a place to lay their head and a bit to eat, and they exclude no one from the family of God. For this is a family. You see how they share life together. They listen and learn together. They work and talk and relax together. They pray together, and they break bread together. Breaking bread together, it's mentioned twice in that passage. Did you wonder whether that refers to ordinary dinner time or to the meal that Jesus shared with his followers and told them to do to remember his death? I'd say yes and yes. The Nealand group that's camping up north along the lakeshore, they will break bread together in ordinary ways. People who stay for a household potluck in our new lobby, they are enjoying fellowship together. Both are in the spirit of that Christian community, that early community who shared ordinary meals together. And they also began to celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper together. They remembered how Jesus broke bread for them, and that Jesus died and rose for them. And so when we gather at this table, the Lord's table, then too, we are living into that new community in Christ. We are continuing the tradition begun by those first followers, a tradition of remembering and believing, and looking forward to when Jesus returns, and we will share the feast of the new heaven and earth. For we are indeed living in the already now and not yet of God's kingdom. You know, the story in the book of Acts, it's actually in the middle of things. That pivot from Easter gold to green growing ordinary time, it's the story of the beginning of the Christian church, yet it's really the middle of a bigger story. Think of it this way. The whole story of God's people begins in Genesis. The story of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus pouring out the Holy Spirit upon his followers, and even the beginning of the Christian church on Pentecost, that's still in the middle of things. And the book of Revelation tells us about the end of things when Jesus comes again. And the end of all things is near, Peter wrote. Yet in the meantime, we are still in the middle, living out the continuing story of the church. The fellowship of believers pictured in Acts 2, it continues. Of course, the fellowship of believers doesn't live out that community life perfectly. No church does. Not even the early church, as we discover when we read further into the stories in the book of Acts. Like them, we are going to mess up sometimes. We will experience trouble and grief and division because the kingdom has not yet fully come. Still, as we read the story about the post-Pentecost community, and as we read Peter's letter, we can be reminded how to live in the now and yet coming kingdom. We can ask for the burning fire of the Spirit's power to help us to be better Jesus followers. And we can remember Peter's encouragement to pray for God's kingdom, to love each other deeply and offer hospitality, to use our gifts to serve one another, and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And maybe we will also have moments that are more like that perfect fellowship of believers we see in Acts 2, when the Spirit of the living God makes us one in love, when we break bread together with glad and sincere hearts, God is praised. And perhaps people will see God in us and be drawn into God's kingdom. So, friends, in the spirit of Pentecost, let us love and serve with the strength God provides, and let's try saying that closing part of the verse together, with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to conclude with a prayer from Phil Reinders. This is from Heidelberg Catechism 53, and it fits very well with our vision of becoming an open people that goes out into open spaces and invites others to join us so that together we praise God. Let's pray. God of wind and fire, whoever would have guessed that a ragtag band of Jesus followers could be bound together into a movement that would turn the world upside down? Only because of your Holy Spirit, who is fully God. Do that work again in our day, taking wildly diverse people who don't naturally fit together and make a peculiar and compelling community, beautiful because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. When a wildly diverse people form a community with glad and sincere hearts, God is praised. So let's respond to this Pentecost message and prepare to break bread together with the song, I Come With Joy. Let's rise in body and spirit to sing.